The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Is the New World Order just ahead? Who will be in charge? How will this change your life and everything around you? How can you be sure? What should you do about it, my friends? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith reveals a new world order. Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
A new world order is definitely just ahead. Under this new system, your life, my friends, will never be the same again. Surprisingly, realize it or not, there are actually two new world orders just ahead of us. The first one will last only a few years, but most people will get sucked into it, unfortunately. In effect, they will be betting on the wrong horse. Later, they will be terribly sorry. How do I know this? How can I be sure of things like this? Because there really is a great God, a creator, who rules from heaven over the earth. And he decides the fate of nations, the rise and fall of empires. He intervenes from time to time when he wishes to. He controls the rise and fall of nations. Notice what the great God told Daniel, the prophet Daniel, when he predicted the temporary insanity of ancient King Nebuchadnezzar. Turn with me in your Bible to this. Follow me. Check up on me if you can. Follow me in your Bible. I challenge you to. Don't believe me. You believe what you read in the pages of your Bible. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. Here's what the great God said. This decision to oust Nebuchadnezzar now for 7 years is by decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. In order, notice, that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. Yes, God rules in the kingdom of men. We certainly feel that most people are able to do what they want to do most of the time. God has made us free moral agents, and he indicates that everywhere, all through the Bible. Time and chance happen to all men. Nevertheless, God intervenes once in a while to guide the effect of major nations, major empires, and important situations. He intervenes powerfully and controls the overall flow of prophecy and of world events because he is God. Now notice how God predicts a modern Babylon. Ancient Babylon was a great, powerful pagan kingdom, an empire that ruled the whole earth. And throughout the Bible, as some of you know, God predicts a modern Babylon to arise in our time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Turn back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 17, and we'll find what God says about this modern Babylon to arise within the next few years, as a matter of fact. It may be 5, it may be 10, but it's not going to be very long. Turn back to Revelation chapter 17. John writes, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls," and we find elsewhere in this book that the seven bowls contain the seven last plagues, "he came and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the judgments of the great harlot who sits on many waters.'" The King James translates it, "the great whore." The New King James, which I'm reading, says, "great harlot, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman." You see, the woman was used here as a symbol of the church that had to flee during the Dark Ages to a place of safety. And throughout the Bible, it uses in a number of places the term woman for a church. Now, here in Revelation 17, it's talking about a great fallen woman. A fallen woman, a great whore, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. They have gotten into a wrong, illicit relationship with this great false church. This church, the true church, was not supposed to enter into wars and power politics and all this kind of thing. But this woman has done this over and over, and she's made the inhabitants of the earth drunk with the wine of her fornication, her false teaching, her false approaches. The world's been all mixed up because of this, spiritually drunk. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. The term scarlet is the color of harlotry, as some of you know. So it's a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This coming beast that the woman sits on, because the woman rides the beast. The beast is more powerful, but the woman, this false church, rides and controls and influences powerfully this great beast, whatever that beast is. She had in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And verse 5, she was on her forehead, a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is an important thing for you to grasp, this great woman to rise up and to ride this beast. Now notice in Revelation chapter 17, and go on here in verse 6, and I saw the woman, this great false church, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. And God begins to explain here through John, the beloved apostle John, by inspiration, what this is all about. The beast that you saw was, it had been very powerful, is not, and that frankly was at the time this prophecy began to be revealed a number of years ago, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. It was to come out one more time before the end of this age. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel. They'll be astonished at what's going to happen. Frankly, they were astonished when the Berlin Wall came down, when the Eastern European nations broke free from communism, when they broke free like dominoes, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Sometimes these world events impact one on another, and it speeds things up tremendously. And I think that's what's going to happen in this case. This thing will rise more quickly than most people realize. They will marvel, whose names were not written in the book of life. People who did not study the Bible, who did not serve God, and were not obedient. Their names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. Now here are 7 mountains. The term mountain, again, is used throughout the Bible as kingdoms. So there were 7 different kingdoms or resurrections, as we understand it, of this beast. 7 mountains on which the woman sits. She sat on 7 different resurrections of this particular power called the beast. And there are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen. So you see, it's a continuous thing. One did exist when then this began to be revealed and it began to be preached to the world. One is, and the other has not yet come. One yet to come. And that's where we are now, my friends. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not himself is the 8th and is of the 7. He's the 8th system, but going back to the original Roman Empire. And the 10 kings, or 10 horns, which you saw, notice, are 10 kings. 10 kings are going to come, but these kings come up all at once, as you shall see. They come up simultaneously, and they fight Jesus Christ. So this coming beast, frankly, is going to be a great dictator, a great military leader, and he's going to have 10 other nations subservient to him, and their 10 leaders are the 10 horns, and they will come up together. The 10 horns are 10 kings, here's the Bible saying it, who have not received a kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. A very short time. They only rule for 3.5 years, but that, of course, seems like a long time to us, but it's like 1 hour with God. And so they rule with and under, of course, the direction of this beast, this great dictator that's going to be in charge of all of Europe in a few years. These are of one mind, and they will have given their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb. Again, most of you know this. The word Lamb means Jesus Christ, nearly all the way through the Bible. They're going to fight Christ, and the Lamb will overcome them, For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. These men are going to have such a tremendous, awesome war machine, it will frighten the socks out of most nations and most people. It will be very impressive. This coming power will be an awesome power. It will be something that will be electrifying to the entire Western world and will have a great effect on all the world. And they will begin to, in effect, worship this beast, as other scriptures tell you. But they're going to fight Christ. They have such audacity. And he will conquer them. He said to me then, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. This great fallen woman has sat on many different nations, speaking many different languages. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot. In the end, they will turn on her when she does not give them the victory that they think they're going to have. And they will begin to burn and destroy this great fallen woman, this great false church. They'll make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So we need to understand what's going to happen. This is an awesome thing, my friend, and we need to grasp, of course, that the effect it's going to have on the whole Western world and on our lives. Now I want to go down into chapter 18 and notice what happens with this Babylon after Christ has already crushed her. What happens next? Revelation 18, verse 1, after these things, I saw another angel coming from heaven having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. This angel is going to come with great power and great authority, and obviously be an angel from God. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, Babylon the Great. It's an awesome system that rises up. But Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons. A habitation of foul spirits, of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations, get this, all the nations of the earth, primarily the Western nations probably in Europe and elsewhere, Central, South America, and other parts of the world, but to a certain extent all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. She's going to be a rich system, a huge trading system, a very popular system that people will like for the time being. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Get out, God says to you. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Yes, the plagues of God are going to come on this system. Some will trade short-term gain in order to be part of this new world order. This new world order will not last very long, but they will trade a short-term gain for the terrible thing that's going to happen. Will you? We need to all think about what we're going to do in the years just ahead. At this point, I urge you to call or write for our free audio tape, Why Were You Born? It will give you precious and inspiring knowledge about the true purpose for our lives. And with it, we'll automatically send you a free current issue of our scintillating new magazine entitled, as is this program, Tomorrow's World. There'll be no cost, no obligation. So call or write today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. My friends, we were talking about the beast of Revelation, and we were in Revelation 18. Let's turn again to Revelation 18, verse 4. After describing this coming great system in Europe, God says in Revelation 18, verse 4, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, you're part of her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. The plagues of God are going to come on this system. And to escape the seven last plagues, you've got to come out of that system. Please understand that. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she's mixed, mix for her double, God says. Verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says, notice what this system says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. Yet God says she will see great sorrow. Verse 8, therefore her plagues, the plagues of God on Babylon, will come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. We've got to come out of Babylon, all the way out. Frankly, it will now be the permanent New World Order that comes next. After Babylon falls, a real world new order that's going to last will come on this earth. And we need to understand that. This system is going to be up for a short time in Europe, and then after about 3.5 years, it'll be gone. Gone forever. And thank God for that. But then the real world new order will arise. The wonderful world new order that God has in mind. And notice what God says about that in the very next chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation 19 and verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and a great white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. The term judge throughout the New Testament, as many of you know, doesn't mean just pass out sentence. It has to do with making judgments, ruling, administering. And Christ is going to come back and rule the nations. His eyes were like a flame of fire. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, verse 13, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven followed him in fine linen. It says in verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He is going to rule the nations of this earth with a rod of iron. This is not up in heaven. I think you can figure that out. They're not rebellious nations up in heaven. Christ is coming back as King of Kings, and he will rule the nations of this earth. It says in verse 16, he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then it describes an angel coming down and gathering together all the nations, because they're going to, of course, be punished, and the birds will eat of their flesh the armies that follow this false power, this beast. And then he says in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, this coming dictator. And the system is called the beast, and the man in charge is called the beast. King and kingdom are often used interchangeably. The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, a great false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Cast alive into that fire. This is the intervention of the living Christ, the Christ who sits in glory at the right hand of God. Notice chapter 20. Then he sees an angel coming down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit. And he laid hold on the dragon, that serpent of old, who's called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. Satan has been deceiving the nations of this world. Now, you may not understand that. A deceived person doesn't always know he's deceived. If you knew you were deceived, you might not be deceived. But I hope you'll think about it, pray about it, and with God's help, many of you can get undeceived, and you can begin to understand this book, the Revelation, the instruction manual from God to mankind. Think about it. And so, Satan is cast away for 1,000 years. But after these things, he must be released a little while. And then he describes thrones and those who have been martyred for Christ. And, of course, he says in the last part of this, verse 4, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. the true saints of God, come up from the grave. They come up in a resurrection from the dead, and they rule for 1,000 years, of course, with Jesus Christ. So he says then in verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, that's at Christ's coming. Over such the second death has no power. They will be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him, reigning right along with Jesus Christ over this earth for 1,000 years. That is awesome when you think about the way of life that's going to be taught and the peace and the joy that's going to be extant at that time. Let's turn now back to the book of Daniel again. Turn to Daniel chapter 7 this time, if you would. Daniel chapter 7 in your Old Testament, a prophecy Jesus certainly quoted from. He referred to Daniel a number of times. Daniel 7, and we'll begin in verse 27. He'd been describing how this great false prophet's been put down. And then he said in verse 27, then the kingdom and the dominion, in other words, the government, and the greatness of the kingdoms, all the nations under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. My friends, God's saints are not some old people that walk around in black robes or white robes and look down and act holy all the time. God shows clearly in the New Testament a saint is anyone who is really converted. Anyone who is walking with God overall, not perfectly, because no one has ever done it perfectly except Jesus. But people are converted and filled with and led by God's Spirit. They are saints. And if they grow in grace and in knowledge, if they remain faithful to the end, if they learn God's ways, they will be here helping bring real peace and real joy to this entire earth. And that's a magnificent future. That's an awesome thing to think about. It really is. And so this government of the whole earth will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The coming Jesus Christ, who sits on this earth then, governing the earth from his capital at Jerusalem, as Zechariah 14 and many other scriptures tell us. Let's turn now to Micah, if you would, the prophet Micah, and we'll read in chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. God tells us something about our time. He describes the latter days, and we're living right in those days now. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain, or again the government, the kingdom of the Lord's house, shall be established on the top of the mountains. In other words, God's kingdom will be ruling over all the other kingdoms, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Notice, he will teach us his ways. God has a whole way of life. Frankly, it's based on the Ten Commandments, telling us how to love God, how to love our neighbor in detail. Jesus explained back in Matthew chapter 5, we're not only not to kill anyone, we're not even to have the attitude of hate, which is murder. We're not only not to commit adultery, but Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28, you're not only not to commit adultery, you're not even to look on a woman, to lust after her. You're to have a pure and right attitude in your heart. And you can't have that, frankly, unless you have God's Spirit. And God works with you and fashions you and molds you and makes you like he is. But notice this now, where the nations are to go up, and then Christ will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. And you and I, as the saints of God, if we make it, can help teach that law, teach that way of life to the nations of the earth. The law of God will go forth. And the word of the Lord, where? From Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be king of the, will be the capital, not the king, but the capital of the whole earth. He shall judge between many peoples, rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You have to learn how to fight and hate and kill. That will not be done anymore. We're going to have to learn God's way, the way of joy, the way of peace, the way of service, and the way, of course, of absolute fulfillment in our lives. Back at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you turn back there, 1 Corinthians 6, we find a scripture that tells us how we'd better be preparing right now. Anyone who's a true Christian, turn to it. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Even the Apostle Paul tells us, we're preparing, training now to judge the whole world. Notice verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We're going to judge the angelic hosts eventually. We've got to learn to judge now. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We've got to learn to let Christ live his life in us. Now, an obedient life, and yield to the true Jesus Christ you find in this book, whom very few people really know or understand. We need to do that to prepare for the kingdom of God. I'm going to cover more about this next time in detail. Again, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of the inspiring audio tape, Why Were You Born? This audio tape will open your eyes, yet it will be sent absolutely free upon your request. And with it, we'll automatically send you a free current issue of our scintillating new magazine entitled, as is this program, Tomorrow's World. There'll be no cost, no obligation. So call or write today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in every week at this same time to Tomorrow's World program. Richard Ames and I will open your eyes to prophetic events and biblical truths you may never have understood before. So take time each week to tune in to this program. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579, or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.